Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of February 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us from his office in Bloomington, Illinois, to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, the White House wants Congress to endorse what it calls comprehensive market-based policy to fight climate change. And the Secretary of Agriculture has clarified the President's State of the Union call to double exports in the next 5 years and his mention of farmers in that vein. The secretary says the administration has not set a sector-specific goal, i.e. agricultural goal, for doubling exports. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, despite redirection in Washington, I'll point you to one place in the agricultural world that might, just might, pick up some extra pounds of exports in the coming year. It might be better to say regain some of its losses in the export market in 2010. And then, in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March contract in the wheat pit was up 12 and a half cents at 487 and a quarter. May at 501 and a half, up 12, and July at 513, 11 and a half cents higher. March corn, 365, a 6 cent gain. May futures up 6 at 376 and a quarter. July at 386 and a quarter, up 6. September at 394, up 6 and a half. And December futures, the new crop at 401, up 6 and a half cents on the afternoon. March soybean futures today, 925 and a half, 15 and three quarters higher. The May at 936 and a half, up 15 and three quarters. July 945 and three quarters, 17 cents higher. And the August soybeans at $9.41. They finished the day 16 and a half cents higher. November futures at 921 and a half, up 12 and three quarters. January at 930 and three quarters, up 12 and three quarters. March bean meal at 273.60, $1.80 higher. The March oil at 37.47, up 128. Mercantile exchange, February live cattle 86.22 and a half, 97 and a half higher. The April's at 89.87 and a half, up 117 and a half. March feeders at 97.22 and a half, down 50. The April's down 37 and a half at 99.30. And Feb lean hogs at 65.40, up $1.02 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, March contract, $7.52. The March contract is, I don't have correct numbers on the March contract in the crude oil. So we'll skip on to the ethanol, where they have $1.81.07 on their settlement price, up 2 and 4 tenths. The natural gas at 546 and 8 tenths, that's 3 and 4 tenths higher. The RBOB gasoline at 201 and 6 tenths, up 8 and 4 tenths. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at 203 and 2 tenths, up 7 and 7 tenths for the day. Gold futures at $1,117.40. Up $13.10 an ounce, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands just about 95 points higher at 10,280. The U.S. dollar at 79.01 is down 0.22 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight in northern Indiana should be cloudy. Some scattered snow showers, flurries, a bit of freezing drizzle. In east central and southeastern Indiana, Ed says cloudy, patches of freezing drizzle. In southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana, gradual clearing. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 16 in far northwestern Illinois to 26 in the far southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in the north, mostly cloudy skies in central sections, partly to mostly sunny. In the south, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 28 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 41 in the deep south. 1 to 2 inches of snowfall will come to portions of northern Illinois and northern Indiana today. While quiet weather prevails elsewhere, says Ed, dry weather expected tomorrow and Thursday, along with temperatures running slightly above average and above freezing during the afternoon hours. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On a Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd. What a exciting day here to come back to.
Hey, it was kind of, you were traveling. That must have been nice, I would suspect. Was it not?
You know, southern Florida this time of year is a nice place to be compared to the temperatures that you had up here last week.
Mm-hmm.
So we were... You know, and it wasn't too bad when we come back. It was above freezing when the plane landed this morning. So just happy to be back and see good green on the screen and markets reacting a little bit positively instead of the negativeness was when we left.
Hey, I'm looking at my screen, and there is one number that I know is not right because it says $7.52 a barrel for crude oil in the March contract.
How about 77.27 up 284 on the March crude?
That's what I wanted to know. So the crude oil was higher along with almost everything else. Any good reasons behind it?
Well, basically along the line, I think it was a fund-led rally today. We got down to some points where things were looking oversold, number one. And then with the energy rally, it just sort of led the way and helped pump up and give the confidence to the funds a little more. That's basically where most of the energy for the market come from was from the energy market, Todd.
Now, have you been talking enough with the rest of the folks to get an idea? Many of the analysts are thinking dead cat bounce on the idea that maybe this will offer some marketing opportunities. Is that something you're in line with?
Yeah, I think so. One of the major advisory firms this morning sold some 2010, some 2011 corn, and also sold some 2011 soybeans on this little bounce. We look for more of that to happen. Along the way. But then, on the other hand of things, we saw another advisory service that actually covered half of their short positions on the dip here, and actually got out of it on a stop this morning on part of the things. So we've got a little bit of a two-sided ideas, and that's a good thing, because generally when everybody leans the same way, that means we're all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But so we've got a little bit going each side, but we're along more of the idea here at Newmarket anyhow that rallies are to be sold, or out-of-the-money calls are to be sold, or buying some puts on any rallies more along the way, or some scale-up selling. So, we see the weather in South America continuing to be very good. We're watching the crops down there develop immensely well. We did have a little positive news in that supposedly Iraq bought some U.S. wheat, but we're the highest out there in the world. But with all the political things happening and the amount of money the U.S. is spending in Iraq, there might have been a little bit of a payback. So,
indeed. So you are a seller. Is that of new crop and old crop, both wheat and corn, or corn and soybean?
I think basically yes. I mean, we're pushing more towards the new crop because we've got a fair amount of old crop sold here, and on the scale up or on some pop up here is why we're wanting to move stuff ahead, because we're just not totally optimistic coming into this next few months with the idea of the amount of acreage available to be planted to corn and beans, and then the world carry out and the numbers and how things are looking. So, we're just a little bit on the negative side, unfortunately.
You think there's much follow-through left in what happened today?
Well, it was some very strong closes today, Todd. The funds a lot of times do things 3 days at a time. The early feeling by a few of them was that it would be done by tomorrow, but it can bleed into the next day.
So tell me about the funds we're in. Do you know for how much today?
You know, I think, give me just a second here.
I'll
and
tell
I
you
can...
what, I'll let you take a look and see if you can find that number and then remind folks in the mean space that on the second Tuesday of March, that's the ninth day, that we do have our all-day Ag Outlook meeting scheduled, and you can come for that. It is our 20th annual all-day Ag Outlook meeting, and we're charging just $20 this year. You get your meal in the morning, well, continental breakfast, and a meal at noon hour.
A wonderful cinnamon roll, Todd. they are quite tasty.
Well, you know, the best thing about that, other than the great information I get, is it's at the Beef House, and it's just a great place to go.
Yeah, and, you know, and here was, there was somewhere between 6,000 and 7,000 contracts of corn by the funds, somewhere in the 4,500 bracket of the wheat, and over 4,000 contracts of beans being bought today by the funds. So there was some substantial volume out there and some short covering along the way, so and also some people willing to buy down there. A lot of times in some of this, as we've talked to some of the exporters, that we're seeing a little bit of end-user participation at some of these lower levels to lock in a little bit, because the last time they didn't think it could go on up, why they got caught seriously. So we are seeing a little bit of end-user purchasing at some of these levels.
And that's probably a good sign, too, that we might have a little more follow-through than expectations?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. Anything else we want to add for the day?
You know, I think that's it. I think that we do want to keep aware, you know, to be thinking solidly about doing a little bit of pricing here on any of these, you know, good returns or good pop-ups that we get.
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Of course, you are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always hear what Wayne had to say again, if you'd like, off our website at willag.org. Or you can dial this phone number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. We update it with some analysis and either the opening numbers or the closing numbers at 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time daily. The number again, 217-333-3434. Your Director of Ag Programming here at the Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the White House called in its budget on Monday for Congress to endorse a, quote, comprehensive market-based policy to fight climate change, while dropping $646 billion in projected revenues from a cap-and-trade system that many lawmakers oppose. The trading system had been key to President Barack Obama's plan to reduce emissions, but the Obama administration did propose giving the Environmental Protection Agency an additional $47 million in its 2011 budget to fund plans to regulate greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide. The administration says that $4 million will pay for a new rule requiring firms to report their emissions, and $43 million will go toward new regulatory initiatives that the EPA is proposing. The White House's fiscal 2011 budget proposal would also lower the cap on direct payments to individual farmers from $40,000 a year to $30,000, a 25% cut in direct payments for farmers at the highest end of the income scale. The proposal revives the Obama administration's attempts last year to cut farm program payments to the largest farmers. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson issued a brief statement in which he again highlighted that such a budget proposal would be unlikely to move through Congress without a fight. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says a new presidential goal to double U.S. exports in 5 years won't necessarily include a target of doubling farm exports. Vilsack says that the White House has not set a sector-specific target for farm exports, but rather, quote, it was going to be an effort to increase American exports at all levels. Farm goods account for about 9% of total U.S. goods exported, about 25% of total U.S. farm production by volume is sold abroad. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know the cattle industry, after suffering financially for a couple of years, should be on the mend in 2010. I'll have more with Purdue ag economist Chris Hurt. USDA expects the available supply of beef will drop in the United States as production falls off this year. Couple the decreasing supplies with increasing demand from export and domestic markets, says Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt, and it spells financial promise for the coming year.
As we look at beef production and the amount of beef that's going to be available for each person here in the United States, it's going to go down in 2010, and that should be encouraging to prices. The smaller cow numbers mean that the calf crop for 2010 should be down 1-2%, and that'll be the foundation of this smaller production. Also, USDA expects the beef exports to rebound about 10%, some more good news. And if we do see that rebound to 2 billion pounds of exports this year, that's going to be about 81% of the record levels of exports in 2003, before exports hit the skids with the BSE.
Otherwise known as mad cow, it's a disease that caused nations around the globe to shut the door to beef imports. The size of the beef herd in the United States continues to drop slowly, says Hurt. Beef cow numbers on January 1 were estimated at 31.4 million head. That's down 1% from last year. The number of heifers being retained by beef cow producers is also down 2%. And it indicates that beef cow numbers supply will continue their slow decline through this year. Now, the degree to which demand improves this year depends on the extent of the 2010 U.S. and world economic recovery. The U.S. economy has been in modest recovery since the summer of 2009. The expectation for 2010 is for the slow recovery to continue, but with unemployment continuing to remain high. Given that the weak economy had such negative impacts on cattle prices in 2009, Hurt says it may be possible for even modest economic recovery in the range, say, of 3% to have a surprisingly strong impact on rebounding cattle prices.
So this year, in summary, is really one of healing, we think, for a pretty battered beef industry as we get smaller supplies as well as recovering incomes that will swing these cattle prices back to the upside. As all of us know, as we read the headlines, they sure indicate a slow economic recovery is probable, but that recovery is certainly not assured yet. I think this means that most cattle producers are going to approach this year both with optimism, but also with a lot of caution, and it's pretty clear that their bankers feel the same way.
Here's one final note on the nation's supply of beef cattle. During the past decade, the beef cow herd dropped by 2.1 million cows, or about 7%. Regionally, however, the location of beef cows was fairly stable during the last decade, with some shift to the southern plains. The eastern Corn Belt, as an example, had 4% of the nation's beef cows in both 2000 and 2010. The western Corn Belt has maintained about 10% of the beef cows, while the southern plains increased from 24 to 25%. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
listening to The Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, time to talk about the agricultural energy market. Harry Cooney of GrowMark is on the line with us today. Hi, Harry. How are you?
Hi, Todd. Had an active day today.
Well, tell me about it, please.
Well, we had the market sell off through the last 3 weeks in January after crude hit about $84 just after the first of the year. The market sold off sharply and went from 84 all the way down to 72 here just yesterday morning. And I think finally traders are realizing that this type of sell-off is a good value, and normally the seasonal studies suggest that about 80% of the time prices rally from your December, January, February lows out into spring and early summer. So when you get this type of a sell-off from 84 down to 72 in crude, and the setback that we saw in gasoline and diesel prices also, they came in buying. And for our FS member cooperatives, we put out a recommendation in December. We've talked at farmer groups about contracting. We put out another recommendation today. And I really think that the end users should be 25 to 50% covered for their spring needs here at this time.
And they need to do that now, then.
Yes, yes. It's people say that after, you know, we had a rally, today alone, crude oil is up $2.85, a big move up. Gasoline and diesel fuel prices went up about 8 cents alone. The dollar is falling. Commodities are catching on fire, you know, the grains, the metals, and the stock market up. But even with this move up, yeah, they should still just do it if they don't have it done already, because history suggests that once the price starts rallying out in the springtime, it usually doesn't set back. Now, there's still a chance that we could set back here in the month of February before that real spring rally takes off, but there's not much time left. There's just that window of opportunity is starting to close here now.
You make a compelling argument. Some might find it so compelling that they want to go to 40 or 50 or 60, 70% purchased. Why not?
Well, there are still some things like the dollar that's been rallying here, and I'm not convinced that that type of a rally is done in the dollar. If the dollar would continue to rally, it could try to temper the rally in the energy complex. Also, when you look at the stocks that we have on hand of energy commodities, gasoline and diesel fuel, they're very ample. So if you look at some of the fundamental information, it would suggest that you don't want to be real aggressive. If I was an end user myself, I'd want to be at 50%. I'd want to have half it locked in and then have the other half to be able to kind of play with. But I'd want to be at least 50%. I wouldn't want to be more than 50, but I'd want to be 50 because I know the likelihood of the seasonal rally 80% of the time, hey, those are good odds.
Those are indeed very good odds. Anything else you've been watching at this point?
Well, I think the stock market action last week looked like it was ready to fall out of the bottom almost, and it's come back to life this week too. So we're watching the dollar in the stock market real close to give us hints for the energy complex in here. The funds, the large commodity funds still want to stay long the energy complex in the liquid fuels. Now, they're still short a boatload of natural gas contracts, but they want to be long the gasoline, the heating oil, and the crude oil, and that's what we want to be then, too. We want to be adding on to this. It's not that prices are that cheap. It's just that they tend to go on up from wherever they're at in this December, January, February time period out into spring.
We're nearly out of time, but does the increase in the price of crude or the bottom, I guess, mean that you're looking for an increase in price of fertilizer, and kind of a yes or no answer will work?
Well, I think the energy prices are going to go on up in the spring and summer from here. So whether that translates into fertilizer or not, what remains to be seen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, talking about ag energy right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Few voters have cast their votes yet in this year's Illinois primary, so say state election officials in Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon's office. One polling place in Urbana had about 5% of its registered voters cast ballots by early afternoon. Elsewhere in the state, foul weather was affecting some polling places, but that's not the main reason why some voters have been unhappy. Many are voicing frustration at the polls, grousing about corruption, taxes, and Illinois' budget woes. The polls close at 7 o'clock tonight. AM 580 will have election coverage starting then. Two area Toyota dealers expect a full slate of service appointments by next week in order to handle the number of customers impacted by the company's recall. Jim Turner with O'Brien Auto Park in Urbana says he expects thousands of appointments through his service department, meaning those repairs will last at least through February. Toyota of Danville service manager Kyle Vogel says his dealer is holding off on appointments until the parts are in hand, but he says those repairs should be underway by Monday. The work on the gas pedal problem is expected to last 30 minutes for customers, and both dealers plan on extended service hours to accommodate customers. Archer Daniels Midland Company says its fiscal second quarter profit slipped 2% as its revenue was depressed by lower prices for agricultural products. The Decatur-based company says it earned $567 million, or 88 cents a share, in the 3 months ended December 31st. That's down from 90 cents a share a year ago. Analysts had predicted a smaller profit. ADM says revenue fell 5% to just under $16 billion. Food pantries in East Central Illinois are serving more than double the number of people than they were 4 years ago. The survey from the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, which helps supply pantries in 14 counties, says of the more than 100,000 recipients in the last year, about one in four is experiencing very low food security. And enrollment numbers at Southern Illinois University's flagship campus in Carbondale have dipped a bit this spring. The total number stands at just over 19,000, a 1.3% drop. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us. Hi, Don. How are you today?
Doing good.
We'll come back to the Midwest and the forecast for here, but could you take us through the agricultural and growing regions across the globe that are in production at this point and what you see, particularly in South America? I've heard both things, that they've been wet and that there is some indication that parts of South America are a little on the dry side.
Well, yeah, definitely. There are some portions of central and east central Brazil that are a little bit on the dry side. Now, once you get outside of that area, the rest of Brazil and Argentina have had some increased moisture. And the forecast down there is for a fairly good chance for rain over just about all of the growing areas of both countries. So, yes, we have some dry areas, but the large percentage of those two countries have a decent soil moisture, and there's more on the way.
When you look at it, then, what do you think that it means for the crop as it goes through its maturing process?
Well, right now, I don't see anything that's terribly concerning in terms of severe wetness or severe dryness over at least a large percentage of those two growing areas down south. So I would say that they are headed towards a good tail end of their season right now, unless we see something change.
All right. And then there are other places around the globe that you're keeping track of in the southern hemisphere?
Australia looks to have some good opportunities for moisture, both in the short term and the long term. And that has been something we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Decent moisture in Australia. That's certainly good to see, especially with the ongoing drought down there. If we were to go north of the equator, we would find that a pretty active weather pattern is on tap for China. Good precipitation, heavy moisture in some parts of that nation, especially in some of the growing areas. Europe has been cold and wintry and snowy, and that trend is going to continue.
Speaking of wintry and snowy, why don't you come back to the Midwest and to the United States? Tell me about the weather here, please.
Well, we're still looking at definitely a winter weather pattern. If anything, as we get into next week and even this weekend, we're going to see it get a little bit colder. There's an area of cold air up over Hudson Bay that's going to slide southwest. So we're going to see some very cold weather move back into the northern plains, the northern Great Lakes. And this is going to help bring some chances for snow to the Midwest and Corn Belt. I don't see big snowstorms, but I see some light snows and a trend towards colder weather. The wettest weather will be over the southern plain states, Texas, Oklahoma, then into the Gulf, then the southeast United States, mid-Atlantic states. We'll see some heavy precipitation. Could see some significant snow along the eastern seaboard this weekend.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Don again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. The Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From Illinois Public Media, this is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. We are broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, thanks to a generous gift from Robert and Alice Campbell. Stop.